welcome to episode number 103 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. You will notice that we skipped 101 and 102, and that's because we had two episodes for number 99 and two episodes for episode 100. So we're now getting back on track with our numbers. This is Deborah, and I am happily podcasting to you from Maryland.
It's a state.
Right.
This is Melanie, and I'm also podcasting to you from West Friendship, Maryland, the state.
This is going to be a great show, as you can tell. We're going to have so much fun on this episode. In this show, we attend the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, and this is our second time at the show. The first time we went was, I believe, in 2010.
It was a long time ago.
It was a while ago, and now we are back. So, sit back. Relax.
Locate your geography and maybe give yourself a little lesson there in U.S. geography.
Just understand that I don't understand it that well.
And enjoy the show. And I say, hey, it's just an ordinary day. And it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. Where are we right now?
I don't know. We're somewhere in New Jersey.
New Jersey.
So Melanie and I left New York about 3 hours ago.
Well, if you don't count the hour we stopped for food as travel.
Then it was 2 hours ago.
Food was traveling from my dish to my mouth.
So we left New York 3 hours ago, and we are on our way to Frederick in Maryland, where we are staying. Then we will be attending this weekend. We'll be attending the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival
in West Friendship,
Maryland.
Yes.
So far our trip has been, I want to say, relatively uneventful, given that the trip has been 3 hours so far. But it actually has been eventful.
Hold on, we have to get a little ticket thing.
3.2 miles. Keep right onto Turnpike South.
Well, we are getting a ticket. That's something to do.
We're not actually getting a ticket,
but just a highway toll ticket. Voila! Back on the highway.
Okay,
so
I guess we want to take
Camden.
The Camden route. I think there's been a couple of things I think we should highlight. There was the time, about 3 minutes into the drive.
Keep right onto Turnpike South.
Oh, dear. I don't remember what happened.
What happened was Melanie said something funny.
I was drinking Snapple.
She was drinking Snapple. She said something funny, and I built on the funny thing by saying something else. I don't even remember what it was, but it's one of those when someone makes a joke and you just kind of take the joke one step further. So I did that, but Melanie happened to have just taken a swig of her Snapple, and it went pretty much into her lungs, but then her throat closed to prevent the liquid from entering her lungs, and then she couldn't breathe.
That has never happened to me before in my life.
So she was actually like wheezing.
It was so freaking scary.
Continue 57 miles on Turnpike South.
I had about 10 seconds before I had to breathe again. I was driving on Riverside, and I thought, oh no, what am I going to do? So I had time to pull in behind an ambulance.
So she pulled over to the side of the road, right behind an ambulance, and she was really wheezing. But the thing is, if someone's choking, there's actually not much you can do as a bystander unless their airway is fully blocked. But she was still able, she had still had some air exchange.
Very little.
And I knew that there was nothing that had lodged itself in her throat. So
just your humor.
Yeah. It's kind of prickly. Gets in there. So she ended up eventually surviving, and then we continued driving. And then we stopped at Panera Bread recently, as in just now, and we ate dinner. And Melanie loves the Panera Bread as a stop on, I don't know, Melanie, you love stopping at Panera Bread on road trips.
Pretty much because this is more of an American thing than a Canadian thing, because when you're driving in Canada, there's always a Tim Hortons. Right? Yeah. So, I mean, you can always get, they have oatmeal or soup or donuts. I mean, there's always something at Tim Hortons. But when you're driving in the States, it's that Chick-fil-A. Okay, as an aside, I had this whole rant on the Georgia episode about Chick-fil-A, and apparently it's pronounced Chick-fil-A. And Savvy Bro cut it because he thought we'd get hate mail.
He thought that everyone would be writing in to correct Melanie. Now, it's funny that Melanie pronounces it wrong, because whenever I read it, my brain reads it as Chick-a-fil. I don't know why. But, and then today Melanie called it Chick-fil-a, and I said, no, it's Chick-a-fil, and I meant to say, no, it's Chick-fil-a, but Chick-a-fil came out.
We're so smart.
Yeah,
we're together.
We're clever.
This is what we talk about when we're not podcasting, too.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, but we had a knitting adventure from the get-go. Do you want to tell about that, Deb?
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. So we rent the car at Thrifty, rent a car, and it may be thrifty, but it is certainly not
fast.
Oh my gosh, there were two people in front of us in line. One guy didn't even get help before we left. Luckily, a second person came to the counter, and he ended up helping us, and we got our car, and we got out. But it took 45 minutes to get a car.
With only three people in the business, and only two people actually helped. It's just crazy. I cannot understand why it takes so long to rent a car. It's just so complicated.
And there's no way to expedite this in New York. I know at the airport locations, in theory, there are ways to expedite it. But at this location, there is not. However, it's close. It is relatively inexpensive for New York car rentals, and we're in a car, and we're on the road. At one point, the manager came over because she was just sort of wandering around the building, and it came up that we were going to a sheep festival.
That's what Melanie actually said. Guess what? We're going to a sheep festival.
I thought she'd think it's a good story. It's a good story.
And she said, oh, like with knitting? And we said, yeah, like with knitting. And she said, I don't knit, but I do crochet.
You know how many crocheters we met late?
She then proceeds to tell us all about her crochet, which Melanie was thrilled about.
I was?
Yeah, you love crochet.
Oh, right. Yeah, I love crochet. Mom, I love crochet. Yeah, something like that. But the point is, it's just, there's all these secret crafters. It's as if it's this whole underground society where they need their own social media
and
pattern database on Ravel line.
Right. Something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so, it's a whole community in and of itself.
It's randomly, it felt like that today.
Yeah.
So we've already, okay, those are sort of our two mini adventure. We had another adventure.
I don't remember it.
The comment, when we saved 5 cents.
Yeah, that was funny. Tell the story.
You tell the story.
It was your story.
You tell it better.
Okay, so we were going through the toll booth, and we expected it to be $8. And so I handed Melanie $8. And
thanks for paying the toll, Deborah.
You're welcome. So she went to hand the guy the $8, but it turns out it was actually $8.05. So the guy said it's 8:05, and Melanie turned to me and said, oh, do you have 5 cents? And then, jokingly, she turned back to the guy as I was fishing around for 5 cents, and she said, how about $8 and a smile? And he said, okay. And I found the 5 cents, and we handed it over. But as we drove away, I turned to Melanie and said, Melanie, do you realize that you just bargained at a toll booth? And then we had a good laugh about that. And that's a fairly full 3 hours so far.
We're on the New Jersey Turnpike. At some point, we're going to hit Pennsylvania. We're going to hit Pennsylvania near Philadelphia. And we're going to hit Delaware. Just skirt across the corner, past the Mason-Dixon line, and we're going to be in the South.
I have a funny story to tell that has nothing to do with what you just said.
Can you tell it in the Southern accent?
No.
Okay.
No, I can't. I'm friendly with our listener, Sparkly Cat. We were emailing each other about the event. Sparkly Cat lives in Washington, D.C., which is very close to Maryland. She emailed me and said, are you coming to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival? And I emailed her, and she said, oh, and are you going to buy a fleece? And I emailed her back and said, yeah, I'm coming. I'm going to try not to buy a fleece. And I said, so what are you going to buy? And I also know her husband.
Not biblically. Savvy girls don't do that kind of thing.
Right, never.
Never.
Quite literally, we never do it.
No, never. Go on.
Okay. She responded to my message and said, I'm going to be copying my husband on this message as I have not discussed my shopping list with him yet. And I think this would be a fine opportunity for him to find out what I plan to buy. He's coming to the festival with her. And I think maybe it was so he would know what the plan was for the weekend. But I just found it thoroughly charming.
That's pretty charming.
Yeah. morning, everyone. It is Saturday morning, bright and early at 7:58, although it's actually not that early anymore since Melanie and I have been up for at least an hour.
We've been up for more than an hour.
That's why the at least part?
It wasn't your alarm that woke us up, though.
Oh, good point. No, we actually have been awake.
For a long time.
Yeah. The hotel we're staying at is the Days Inn in Frederick, and I was pleasantly surprised. We're paying $70 a night. It includes breakfast, and the room is clean. You know, it has kind of a stale smoke smell, but...
It's attached to a Waffle House.
It is attached to a Waffle House, but for $70 a night, it's not nautical themed.
No, there aren't seamen all over the place.
There's no seamen all over the place.
There's no seamen all over the place. No nautically themed rooms. And the Walmart is about 100 meters off.
So,
it's not as...
It's conveniently located.
I just meant it's slightly less unclassy than if it were on the premises of the Walmart.
If we were attached to Walmart.
Or sleeping in Walmart.
So, I fell asleep pretty quickly. I felt like it was a perfectly comfortable location. Melanie had some trouble sleeping. But it was particularly exciting when at, what was it, 6 a.m.?
About 6 a.m.
I didn't totally catch the conversation. Melanie understood more of it. So, Mel, why don't you say what you heard?
Pretty much there was some kind of domestic drama. I don't know what exactly was going on, but words such as, I'll cut you, were uttered.
Well, more than uttered, actually.
They were yelled right outside our window. I'm sorry that someone couldn't get along, but...
It was really
early.
Threatening to knife your partner is not, I would say, the most healthy way to conduct yourself in a relationship. But that being said, I am single, and perhaps this is why I'm single. It's because I don't understand.
There may have been two girls fighting over a guy, though.
Oh, was it? You told me it was one male and one female voice.
I thought so. Why would a woman say, I'll cut you, unless they're talking to...
Was it a woman's voice?
It was a woman's voice.
Well, I thought they were two women.
Oh, because there was definitely a guy. So maybe a woman found another woman with her guy. I don't know. Who knows what drama lurks in the heart of Marylanders?
And there was vomit on the stairs when we came down this morning.
There was vomit on the stairs. Yes, that's... Yes.
But that, I assume, were overexcited knitters. When they're heading up to their room, they've arrived in Maryland. They're so excited for the Sheep and Wool Festival that they vomit on the stairs. I can't wait to...
I would say we've all been there, but I haven't.
You've never vomited out of excitement?
Not about knitting. I mean, not about anything.
Actually, I have to admit, I've rarely vomited out of excitement.
I mean, are you that excited today?
I'm pretty excited, but actually, let me put it out there, I've never vomited out of excitement.
Neither have I.
However, and I'm not feeling vomitous this morning, but I am feeling excited.
I'm really tired this morning.
Melanie didn't fall asleep until what hour?
Almost 4, and we got up at... Just after 6?
No, we got up at 6:50.
No.
The alarm went off. I'm going to cut you.
We got awake. And the worst part, during the whole domestic drama, their alarm clock was going.
Oh, yeah.
So rough.
Yeah.
Life is hard in Maryland. No wonder everyone leaves.
Does everyone leave?
I don't know.
We don't know that. Maybe people come. Well, we're not leaving. We entered Maryland.
That's true, but now we're driving back up. We're about 40 minutes off of the Wool Fair. But I think, unlike Rhinebeck, there doesn't seem to be any traffic, at least not yet.
Well, so far. Maybe entering the fairgrounds. It's a pretty big festival.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what are your goals for the festival, sis?
My goals for the festival? I don't have any goals for today. Do you have any
goals?
Well,
I have some looking at vendor goals, but I was trying to think, we should have a thing that we do this weekend to make the podcast more interesting.
Because it certainly isn't interesting enough.
Well, just because it's funny when we do things.
Is it so interesting? It's so boring that I feel I'm going to vomit. As opposed to being so interesting.
How about...
It makes me want to vomit.
Well, exactly. I mean, we could... One of the things you could say to knitters to mock them, you could be like, your sweater is so pretty, it makes me want to vomit. In fact, can I have it?
A vomit with a can I have it trailing it. That mm-hmm. is hardcore.
Yeah.
So wait, okay, just to clarify, we want our podcast to go from so boring it makes you vomit to so interesting it makes you vomit.
Yeah.
End result, the same. What's behind it, completely different. I don't don't know a lot about Delaware or Maryland at all.
I know nothing about it. I didn't know we were recording again, but I guess we are.
I'm recording. I mean, you don't have... I kind of hoped you'd just keep your mouth shut.
Okay.
You totally can be part of this if you want.
No, that's
I practiced
okay.
for 2 hours last night. We just passed... Oh, sorry. We just passed a beaver or something by the road. Like a live one.
Ooh, beaver. Let's go get it.
Oh, no. Okay. The point is... All right. I'm starting this again.
No, that was hilarious.
No, I'll keep it, but okay.
There's no way we can cut that.
So I don't know a lot about Delaware or Maryland, and I was musing as you dozed last night in the car beside me, mumbling about sweaters. Did you really dream about a sweater?
No, I was thinking about knitting sweaters as I fell asleep.
Because it came up a few times.
I know. It was my happy place.
Okay.
Well, that was like, sometimes when you fall asleep, you just want to think happy thoughts. And those happy thoughts were... thinking about sweaters. Knitting sweater.
My happy thoughts are not those thoughts.
Yeah, it turns out we're different people.
What? Okay, the point is, I don't know a lot about Delaware or Maryland, and so I was musing to myself, aloud mumbling, actually, about, you know, what it would feel like to come to Delaware back in the day. And this is, you know, if Jedediah and Edna May from the South were to come up and visit Delaware, what it would be like. And I kind of thought it would be like this. So they'd come up in there. What would they come up in?
Like, depends how long ago.
I don't know. It was like the 1700s, but now we're moving forward because there are cars. So like last week, if Jedediah and Edna May.
So they'd be coming up in their Prius.
I really don't think they know what a Prius is.
Well, I haven't met them. Well, actually, I have. Yesterday, while I was trying to sleep.
Okay, so anyway, Jedediah and Edna May just came up in their truck from the South, and they looked around Delaware, and Jedediah said, "Hey, Edna May, look at this, we're in Delaware." And Edna May said, "Hey, Jedediah, I don't know much about Delaware. What's there to know about this place?" And Jedediah said, "Oh, well, Edna May, it's the first state in the Union. Did you know that, Edna
okay,
May?"
Okay, can I jump in here? How was it a union with only one state in
can
it?
You just, this is a joke!
Oh, I'm the one who made the joke yesterday.
Well, I'm making it! You're ruining this.
But I'm the one who made that joke yesterday. Are you stealing my joke? You're totally
stealing.
Can
I start again?
You're gonna make people think that you made that joke. You're gonna try to take credit and people are gonna say you're the funnier one.
I am the funnier one. And so Jedediah said... Jedediah said... Well, Edna May, I forget who was talking... I practiced this for like an hour and a half.
Okay, go ahead. Still
no,
the joke.
You've ruined it. You've ruined it all.
Well, maybe you should have come up with your own jokes in an hour and a half.
Can I please...
Time better spent.
Can I please start again? Just go to your sweater place.
You may.
Jeez Louise.
I'm already there.
Good. I think it's a silent place. So... Jedediah and Edna May came up in their Prius from the South, and Jedediah, Edna May looked around and said, "Hey, Jedediah, it's gorgeous up here. I've never been to Delaware before." And Jedediah said, "Hey, Edna May, it's a little different up here. We're so far north. We're just south of the Mason-Dixon line, you know. It's far north, almost a Yankee." And Edna May said, "Well, I don't know much about Delaware." And then Jedediah said, "Well, you know, it's the first state in the Union." And then Edna May said, "But I don't get it. How could you be the first state in the Union before? If there's just one state in the Union, you can't reunionate with just one state. That wouldn't be a union. It would be a one-ion." And Jedediah said, "Well, Edna May, I don't know about that, but I do know that roadkill up here tastes the same as roadkill down there, so why don't we go scrape us up some buck off the road and you get out the cutting sticks and start the fire?"
It's really insulting to people from the South, I'm just saying.
And Edna May said...
No offense, people.
Can I please finish?
Okay.
And Edna May said, "Okay, Jedediah, well, you're getting us the roadkill. Well, is it really insulting?"
They're eating roadkill.
I didn't say where in the South. It's just sort of...
Clearly, we're talking about the South of Canada.
Sure, okay. Those people in Sudbury, we're totally talking about you.
I'm sorry, people of Sudbury.
Can I please finish?
No.
It was... Yes.
Yes.
And Edna May said, Well, Jedediah, well, you're out getting some buck off the road in front of the Walmart, and I'll get out the cutting sticks and get ready to cut it up. But before you get back, I'm going to get out my knitting sticks and start knitting that armadillo cozy I've been working so hard on. And Jedediah said, well, Edna May, why would an armadillo need a cozy? It's not a very cozy animal to me. And Edna May said, well, you know, we're pretty far north. We're pretty close to the Mason-Dixon line, and it gets mighty cold up here during the night, and I wouldn't want an armadillo to get the sniffles. And that's all I came up with.
And I would like to finish this with a sincere apology to the people of the United States of America.
Well, they hate us anyway. What's up, sissy?
Hi, we're in line for the fleece sale, and I said I wasn't going to buy any fleece, but that I might have dragged Melanie here, quite literally dragged her. I grabbed her wrist and pulled her through the entire fairgrounds, and she actually had to run behind me because I was walking so quickly.
I'd say I was embarrassed, but looking at a lot of the other people here, I'm not embarrassed.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about. And so, given that I'm not going to buy a fleece, I'm now in line for the fleece sale.
And jumping around anxiously, no less.
And the list of fleeces that I would be interested in perhaps getting would be a tunis, a BFL, a Jacob, or perhaps a...
You said Shetland.
Shetland.
I listen.
You did listen.
I'm a good sister. I listen to you.
What else, perhaps. But that's what's on my mind right now.
I can smell the desperation. No, that's just lanolin.
That's lanolin.
Well, I'm kind of wishing we had a booth here. It would have been fun.
Well, next year we can apply for a boothy booth.
Yeah, next year. Because we want people to line up to touch our fleece. Family show.
So Melanie's excited to be here. She doesn't appear to be excited. She's not behaving like she's excited. However, I know on the inside that she's excited, just as excited as I am.
Really?
And I might be dancing in the spot right now. However, she is yawning, but that's just because she wants to give the impression she's not excited to go look at a whole bunch of raw sheep fleeces. Like, this is how you envisioned your life, Melanie, isn't it?
Yes. I'll tell you, when I was younger, I thought, wow, when I become an independent adult, I can't wait. I'm going to line up with a bunch of crazy knitters and...
Spinners.
And
this line is mostly spinners, I think.
Okay. Spinners and the people who tolerate them. For fleece.
For raw fleece. That's right. This is actually not how I envisioned my adulthood either, I must say.
Well, they're about to open the door, so
get... Okay, ready? Get your elbows out.
I'm not fighting for a freaking fleece. You all hurt me inside and out. Telling me things get weak when the animal gets stressed?
Stressed. When an animal has a stress, let's say they run out of water and the shepherd didn't notice. Because if they're out in the field all summer, one bucket could run out of water and they're that part of the field. Shepherd didn't notice that part of the field was out of water.
Wow. And how long does it take for it to get stressed?
Even a day could stress them.
Wow.
Yeah, even a day could be enough stress to make the fleece break. Another thing, if the neighbor's dogs get in and chase them around, that could be enough stress to make the fleece break. Lambs get stressed more easily. I'm going to say that lamb break was actually from a weaning because it's only that far in. It's probably when it was weaned from its mother. Any stress that a sheep has could potentially make the fleece break. Lambing's a fleece break, weaning's a fleece break, dogs being in water.
Wow.
Anything. A mild break could be, even a fever could make a break. A mild break could just be a mild stressor or a feed change.
So it's one specific part of the lock that will be weak, not
right.
The whole thing.
Yes, it's one specific part of the lock, and you can tell where that's the change was because the fleece breaks in that point. That inherently makes the fleece less usable. I'm not going to say completely unusable. There are some uses for breaking fleeces. I normally felt them and throw them in the dog beds. This fleece, this white one, I'm going to say this is a really nice structure. Good 8 inches. You could even tail spin this if you wanted to into core yarn.
Yeah. So which one do you want me to buy?
These ones, I'd actually go with this one. It's probably the most expensive, but it's the best fleece. I mean, you're going to pay more overall, but that's the best fleece.
Okay.
Out of
now,
all of them.
If you were to recommend, since I have you and you're helping me, something else.
So what do you have so far?
So I have a
Wensleydale Cross and a
Border
Leicester.
Yes,
the Jacobs are interesting because they're two colored. Like Jacobs,
yeah.
Jacob's sheep have two colors.
So we're looking at a Shetland.
We're looking at a Shetland. And this is actually a third place fleece.
Oh, awesome.
Third or fourth? Fourth.
Okay.
Okay. Nice crimp. Nice lock structure. You see this top right here? This is actually your second coat. It kind of splits.
Okay.
So you're going to see, if you look really close, you're going to see some hairy parts in here.
More like human hair? Than...
Kind of, not quite human hair, but more looking like human hair.
Okay.
That's the double coat. That's the double coated nature of the fleece. Makes it really nice wearing fleece. I love to make hats out of this. They make awesome hats because it wears really well. I wear barn hats, so Shetland works really well because it wears really well and it's still nice and warm. And
okay.
It's still soft.
Wonderful.
It is still awesomely soft.
And this is a good fleece.
This is a good fleece. See how it's fairly clean inside?
Yup.
Not a whole lot of vegetable matter. It does not break. So really nice fleece here. Jacob's an old world breed, hardy. They're a hardy animal in and of themselves. Their wool is going to be on about the medium side. So it's going to be...
Medium coarse.
Medium coarse.
Okay.
Some of them could be medium soft. So the animal itself, the fleece is in general being medium, good, long-wearing, hard-wearing items.
Okay.
Like socks, scarves, mittens, that kind of thing. A lot of my favorite breeds are those, actually, kind of things. So they're going to have a nice crimp definition in them, and they're double colored, and you can process the fleece in different ways because of that option. You can either pull out all the black and process it, and pull out all the white and process it, or you can process it all together and get a wonderfully gray fleece.
Or a combination of all of that.
Right. I've seen a scarf the one time that was done. You know, she took the black, took the white, and the gray, and she did a variation in there. There was a pattern that called for all different colors. So you can see even this one has really nice lock structure. It's like got nice crimp that shows you that it is a little bit softer.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a really nice fleece.
Okay, so I should get this one too.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yes.
Melanie and I are taking our first break of the day. I'm talking.
I don't want my crunching on it.
Well, it's far away. Melanie and I are taking our first break of the day. We've had a pretty good morning so far here in Maryland. I pulled Melanie, and as we recorded, we ended up at the fleece sale. I ended up with three bags full of fleeces, as in three fleeces. I don't remember what breeds I ended up buying, but they were lovely, and there was that wonderful young woman who helped me understand what to look for, and she just basically picked three good fleeces for me out of some breeds that are really fun to spin. So that's really good. And then we were going to go drop the fleeces in the car, and then on the way we did a little swing by Fiber Optic, and I bought two gradient rovings to spin. I've been really interested in spinning gradient rovings just kind of for the fun of it, and I understand Fiber Optic fibers are really, they've really cornered the market in terms of quality or well done gradient rovings. So I'm excited to spin those up. And then we dropped off at the car, and then we came back and we ogled Angora puppies. There weren't puppies at all. Angora bunnies.
And Deborah almost bought a bunny.
And we're still talking about it. I can't say that it's 100% off the realm of possibility, but I think it's...
We're going to name him Squishy.
We're not, and it would be a female.
Wait, what?
It would
Why?
Be a female.
I mean, I like girls.
Because
but...
she was telling me the males sometimes spray.
Ooh.
Yeah, we wouldn't... Mm.
There are more girl names anyway.
That's right.
Malabriga.
Maybe.
Let's see, what would be a good girl name for a bunny?
For a bunny? Hoppy?
Phoebe Bunny?
I guess.
Phoebe's a pretty name.
Yeah, but I never pictured my bunny. The bunny that I picked there wasn't named Phoebe.
What was her name? Tina Bunny?
No. I don't know. Oh my goodness, putting me on the spot, I don't know what it would be.
Would it be a yarn related term though? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be a bunny related term.
Hmm. Like wiggles?
Like Hoppy?
The mouse in my show is going to be named Tilly. It could be Tilly Bunny.
Oh, Tilly Bunny. But that would be, that's the kind of name that the bunny would have.
The name would be sort of something like Matilda Bunny, but you just call her Tilly.
Tilly Bunny. Sure. Tilly Bunny. That would be cute. So after we seriously considered getting ourselves a bunny.
And then walked away, but probably only because they couldn't go home with you today.
That's right. Because the bunnies weren't quite old enough. So we didn't take a bunny home with us, which is probably for the better. And
we're here tomorrow too.
Yeah, we are. And then we made our way to The Fold, which is where they sell socks that rock. And if you've listened to, say, more than this episode, you would know that I have a particular liking of socks that rock yarn. I really like working with it. I really like the colors. So I bought myself 3 skeins. And then we stopped for lunch, and we had our standard Fiber Festival lunch.
Blah, why did we eat that?
Which is, I had a pretzel, and Melanie had nachos with nacho cheese.
Yeah, cheesy nachos. Really, it's only a festival thing. But man, I would love some protein or something green or something.
I know, and we always do this to ourselves, and I feel really weighed down because I ate dough
and my
for
face
lunch.
Is, my face is sort of eaten out by salt, eaten off by salt.
So it's a really good experience every time we eat at a Fiber Festival. And we try to do something different, and yet we don't.
Well, what else is there to eat, though? I mean, there's
there was that hummus booth.
There's the hummus booth, but I don't think they had anything to dip in the hummus. I think it was take-home hummus.
But they had other things. They had gyros and such. They had vegetarian gyros.
The nachos were cheaper.
Yes, definitely. So what now, sis?
Well, we're meeting people. We're meeting some of our listeners and doing a meetup pretty soon at 1.
So that's an hour from now.
I thought we could have a nap right here on the lawn.
That would be a really good idea.
Really?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Really? We can light it just like 10 minutes?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my gosh, this is now the best day ever.
Yeah. We can take a little lawn nap.
Just like a tiny lawn nap.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go in. We didn't really look around the main barn.
We didn't look at much of anything,
I think,
really.
We should go to the main barn.
Okay, we'll start at the main barn.
Sorry, I'm just watching a disaster about to happen.
Oh, yeah, that's precariously balanced.
Yeah, that's a lot of food precariously balanced.
That would be a disaster. I would eat that off the ground. By that, I mean the french fries.
Someone's walking by with a plate of french fries.
Balanced on top of two drinks.
Giant sodas or Cokes, since we're in the South. I think you call everything Coke, although they're Pepsi here. Not that it matters, but anyway. I mean, it's weird because, honestly, this feels a lot more Southern than Stitch's South felt to me.
Really? I feel like since we were able to drive here, it's not South at all.
But everyone has cool Southern accents.
Not everyone. We don't.
No, but a lot of the vendors do. And
yeah, I think a lot of the vendors came from further South. This is, I would think this is more like midway between North and South.
Well, it's not the Deep South.
Right, okay.
But we are south of Mason-Dixon, then.
That's
a
good point.
We are officially in the South.
That's a good point.
Sweet tea flows like butter.
Melanie has...
Yes?
I bought Melanie a Prezi already today.
Oh, I forgot about my present. By the way, I love presents, so thank you, Deborah.
You're welcome.
Because you gave me a present, I love you. Deborah got me socks.
But they were...
They're alpaca socks.
No, they're not.
They're wool. Wool socks. I don't know what you got me. I'm
they're
tired.
Wool socks.
They're purple.
Did and they're
the
purple.
Color right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They're purple socks, and... Actually, I'm watching a group.
All
right,
festival goers, now that master storyteller Bill Mayhew has wrapped up his first session, we do have a couple of announcements to make. Susan Kaczmarek, you need to return to Noni Designs tent. They have something that belongs to you.
I'm guessing her
and
credit
also,
card.
If you are customers waiting to pay for your fleece at the fleece show and sale in the large barn, you need to return immediately, otherwise the fleeces will be put back out for sale.
I was just saying that we're looking at a group. Well, we'll now look over there, and then we'll be looking at a group.
Okay.
And it's obvious they came together. They have these really, really cute t-shirts. I took a picture of one of them.
I heard them saying, actually, I heard them talking, and they were saying that they all met at their local
at their yarn
knitting
store?
Group. No, maybe at the yarn store, maybe at the knitting group. I don't remember.
And their shirts say, money can't buy happiness, but it can buy yarn, which is kind of the same thing. That's
I love
actually
that.
Adorable. I mean, there's
I
a lot
that.
Of cheesy knitted sayings going around, but that's a good one.
Folks, it is new. We have quite a few activities that are underway, but we do have something starting right now in the pavilion. The Maryland Made with Wool Fashion Show. Maryland Made with Wool Fashion Show is starting right now in the pavilion. And the show
placing
Kansas, a wool fashion show in Maryland.
I have a feeling the fashion show won't be all that fashionable.
No.
I thought you never know. I like her boots.
She's more fashionable than most people here. She is the fashion show. Anyway, people watching has been just as interesting as
expected.
Well, as expected, but also as, I guess, wool watching or whatever. And not just for the knitwear they're wearing, because I know, Deborah, you have an eye out on people's knitwear.
Yeah, I've seen
actually,
a couple things.
Oh, my God. What is that woman wearing?
Speaking Which one?
Of, the one with the green and the blue. Can you see that? She's sitting. It might be a man, but I think it's a woman. No, she's a woman.
That's a hand-knit sweater.
Yes, I know what it is. It's just more like, what is it?
Like, why?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of, like,
big geometric designs made out of
neon
big
colors.
Yeah.
Yeah. However, she had to put a lot of work in that sweater, and it seems to fit her well.
So anyway, what I'm saying is that there's been a lot of people watching available. I mean, there was someone dressed almost as if for a Ren fair. There's someone carrying a giant harp in a case walking by right now.
Hey, harpist, what you doing?
So what else? I mean, we've seen some crazy-looking people.
Yeah, we saw some police officers. There is an unexpected number of police officers at the show. I'm thinking they're here for crowd control. I didn't realize knitters would be so rowdy as to require a police presence, but we
actually...
A large
police presence.
A significant police presence. However, at the very least, we saw that they were admiring certain spinning wheels, and so, you know, at least they seem mildly entertained.
Right.
They probably had to draw short straws for sheep and wool duty.
Maybe they don't realize that we're here, ironically. You and I.
I'm not.
Oh, right. I forgot.
I bought 3 fleeces, 2 spinning fibers, and 3 skeins of yarn already.
Oh, dear. Well, with that, I think I'm going to have a little nap.
Melanie is seriously considering getting herself a shepherd's crook.
A shepherd's crook?
Yeah. That is taller than she.
Shepherd crooks are kind of sexy. I might need one. I'm not sure where I'd put it, but every girl needs a shepherd's crook. Okay, with that, we're taking a long nap.
I am so excited to be here at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival, and I'm speaking to Carl Koop from Bijou Basin Ranch. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Very well.
Yesterday, your booth was swamped.
It was. We had an incredible day yesterday. We had a line outside the tent when we first got here at 8 o'clock in the morning. The show doesn't open till 9, but we opened the tent up and people just swarmed in, and it didn't stop until 6 o'clock last night when the show was over.
That's incredible.
It was great.
Tell me about your line of yarns.
Okay. Primarily, we have yak-based fibers. We raise Tibetan yaks on our ranch in Colorado, and we comb the fiber from them every spring. It's going to be combing season when I get home from here. I buy fiber from other yak ranches in the state, and then I do states, and I do import some from Tibet and Nepal as well. And in this past year or so, we've started getting into other high-end exotic fibers as well. So we started with a cotton and cashmere blend, which did very well for us. And then we went to an Angora blend, which is 95% Angora, 5% viscose. The viscose is kind of wrapped around the Angora to hold the halo down, so it doesn't pill, it doesn't shed, it doesn't float all around your hair and everything, and it keeps your garment from wearing out. Just as warm, just as soft, and that yarn has been flying off the shelves for us. And then we also just recently started distributing Kiviut from the Arctic Kiviut Company up in Fairbanks, Alaska.
So I see you at every single show I go to, and I imagine you're also at some shows that I don't attend. How do you have time to run a ranch as well?
We have a yak sitter. There's a woman out near where we live in Colorado who will house sit for you, and primarily she takes care of people's horses. And then she started doing some cattle for some, you know, some ranching for some people. And I called her one day and asked her if she would do cattle. She said yes. I said, well, come on out and meet mine. And when she got there, she said, those aren't cows. And I said, no, but they're just as good. And so she comes out every other day or every day, depending on the time of year. And she'll do a head count, make sure the gates are all closed and the fences are in good shape. And she also throws hay out for the animals if they need it. You know?
Okay, so we spoke back in, I believe, 2010. It was a little while ago.
Yep.
What has changed since?
Well, like I said, mostly it's the new products that we've added in. We did add a couple of yak-based products as well, like a yak and silk blend that we did. So we've been doing a lot of that. When we talked last, it was right after we first announced colors. And so the bulk of our colors are still done by Lorna's Laces out of Chicago. But we do have a lot of mill-dyed colors as well now. And the big thing is pricing. We have lowered our prices over the years. We've been really, really lucky. People have accepted us as a valued product, and they're buying more and more all the time. The more they buy, the more I'm processing. The more I process, the cheaper it gets. And I'm lucky enough to be able to pass a lot of that savings on along to our customers.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
What is your most popular yarn that you're selling?
Right now, it's kind of a toss-up between the new Seraphim yarn, which is the Angora yarn, and our Lhasa Wilderness, which is a 75-25 yak and bamboo blend. And that was one of the first blends we ever did, and that has been our best seller since we announced it. It's got an incredible hand, wonderful drape, and a beautiful sheen when it's out in the sunlight.
Have you named your yaks?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you name them, or do your wife, does your wife name them?
I name most of them. That's why they have the names they have. It's like our first bull calf was named George, because our first bull was named Jet, so he's George Jet's son.
Your wife must be a very patient woman.
She is. She's a saint, yeah. But yeah, we do name our animals. You know, a question I get a lot from people is, do you butcher the animals for their fiber? No, we don't. You know, yaks are raised by some ranches for meat products, and it's a very healthy red meat, et cetera, et cetera. I know my animals on a personal basis, especially the ones we've raised from calves. We hand raise our animals. So that means once they're born, the cows and the calves are locked into an area in the corral that we call the nursery, where we can go into the corral with them 3-4 times a day. So the babies see us, they know us, we pet them and touch them, they see us pet the moms. They hear all the noises that we make in there, you know, from cleaning up manure to feeding them hay, the wheelbarrow comes out, all this stuff. So they accept us as a normal part of life, but they know we're not yaks. And that makes it easier for us to comb the fiber off in the spring. Several of our yaks know their names and will come when we call them.
You know?
Yeah, it's actually a lot of fun. And it surprises people when they come out to the ranch to see the yaks. And that. I have an old cowbell, and I'll ring the cowbell, and they'll come running up from the pasture because they know it means food's coming. And then I can call some right over to the fence by name. And we have a big steer, Napoleon. He knows that. Napoleon thinks he's in charge because the cows let him think so.
Well, you named him Napoleon. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, but he doesn't have that Napoleon complex. He's a very big guy.
That's good.
And he's a big sweetheart. I mean, you know, he's real friendly. He's real tame and kind and just easy to get along with. Yeah.
Now, are they born with fur? Or yak?
When they're born, and there's some pictures on our website you can see of the calves. When they're first born, they look like sheep with yak heads.
Really?
I mean, they're tiny. They're only about 15 to 25 pounds, and they're all black, and just they have the softest, curliest hair. And then over the course of the next 6 months, they'll shed that and get their normal yak coat. And then over the course of the first winter, they start to produce down.
I just want to kiss a baby yak.
But they like I said, these little yak heads. If you look at our website, we use a picture of two of the calves as an indicator of what show we're doing next. And we kind of photoshopped hats and sunglasses on them, and there's a suitcase full of yarn that says, you know, what do you mean we're not going? We're already packed. And it says, so you can see them. They just have these hysterical expressions on their face. They're very inquisitive, and everyone has its own personality.
How big are they?
They're huge. That's freaking huge.
But he actually probably knows numbers.
Okay.
Well, the cows are going to be about 600 to 800 pounds.
How does that compare to a cow,
a real
cow?
About two-thirds the size of a beef cow.
Beef cows are huge, though.
Yeah.
They're okay.
So they're going to be about 3 foot, 4 foot.
The boo cows? The moo cows versus the yak cows.
Moo cows and beef moo cows hanging on the field are smaller than beef cows.
Right.
Okay,
right.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Dairy cattle are smaller than beef cattle, yes. And yaks are a little smaller again. They're about two-thirds the size of a moo cow. Now, the funny thing is that the scientific name, the Latin names for yaks, is Bos Gruniens, which means grunting ox, because they don't moo. They only grunt.
Can you do this noise?
No.
Come on, could you try?
It's just like a, and if I do that out in the corral, they'll grunt back at me.
Will you do it again?
No.
Just one more time. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you again.
It's so nice talking to you again, yeah.
And I appreciate the lesson in all things yak.
And when you're in Colorado,
We'll come and kiss some yak together.
Go meet Doc. He's our latest little calf. Doc is getting a little big at this point, but you know, he was the last calf we had born. You know, and he's getting to that point where the testosterone's starting to flow, so he's a lot more fun. He wants to play with everybody. And his mom is saying, stay away from me, you're weaned. So he comes walking over to the sad sack look like, is your mom mad at you too? And then the other two calves that are about his age are heifers, little girls. So he doesn't want to be with them, so he hangs out with me. And every place I go, he's right behind me, following me around.
You guys just drink beer and watch sports together.
Right, yeah, we're going to get tattoos. And,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, well, we've been weaned, so we can totally hang out with him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We've been through that issue.
Yeah, we've been through kind of a while ago.
Well, thank you so much. This was fascinating.
It was great. Thank you.
Take care. Excited to be here and talking to, I don't know what you want me to call
Beaded
you.
Beaded Lace Whore is good.
I'm talking to Beaded Lace Whore.
It's the first whore we've met here.
I don't know for sure, but
that's
you
a good
know,
point.
The first one that is willing to admit it.
Self-identified.
Today.
It is so nice to talk to you. Now, you were telling us a story about how you found our podcast.
Well, I went up with a friend of mine to Rhinebeck, and we went to the Ravelry meetup. It was huge. But we were chatting with a bunch of people, and your mother came up to us and said, oh, do you know my daughters? They have this wonderful podcast. And so she dragged us over and we got to meet y'all briefly while you were madly meeting everyone else, and you gave me one of your stitch markers, which I still have. And so now I'm a podcast listener.
Yay!
And I've been enjoying it ever since.
Bless our mom's heart.
Bless She's
our
a mom. Sweetie.
Bless her
She's
heart.
A sweetie. Yeah, y'all are just a great family, and it's kind of fun to listen to you, and that's one of the reasons I enjoy your podcast.
Oh, I'm so glad. You've been shopping to not today so much, yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah. And I got some wonderful things from the Fiber Optics booth and Hunt Valley Cashmere. I went too far on the Hunt Valley Cashmere. But that's
I'm not
okay.
familiar with them.
They're in the main building, and they have gorgeous cashmere yarns. You can't get them online. This is the only place you can get them. They're local in Maryland. And it's reasonable prices. I mean, they aren't cheap, but they're reasonable prices for cashmere.
Huh.
So well worth looking into. I've knitted with several of them in the past, so that's why I was willing to buy some more. Really nice cashmere.
Wonderful.
So, and just had fun wandering around.
And today, but, what's the plan for the day?
Mainly to catch up with you all, because I missed you all yesterday.
I'm so glad you found us. Big hugs!
Then wander around and see if, when it's quieter, seeing if I can see anything more else.
Yesterday, we went into booths, but it felt like I barely made it into anything.
That yeah.
Even the smaller booths, the lesser known booths, were swamped.
Yeah, things were crazy, but...
But it's busier than Rhinebeck, I found.
It's more condensed than Rhinebeck.
Perhaps that's it.
So I don't know whether it's busier, but it's more condensed. And particularly when you get in down into the main building down there, it's really crowded. But, you know, it's fun. And we got perfect weather this year.
It is perfect.
I could do with a couple degrees more today. But,
Fahrenheit or yeah. Celsius.
Yeah. I could go with a little bit more warmth. I'm a bit chilled.
Really?
But yeah, I'm not wearing pants. I'm not.
So I think the most exciting thing here are the shepherd crooks. They're pretty
they're
sexy,
beautiful.
Don't you think?
Yeah. 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 They've got, I mean, the neat thing about this is the all the sheep stuff is intermingled with all the yarn and product
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
And so you get to see all of that. Rhinebeck, it's usually kind of segregated out. But it's fun.
Before we finish talking, I need to tell our listeners what you're wearing on your shirt. She's wearing a T-shirt, and it says Star... as you see in a pattern, then knit 2, purl 2, and then underneath it says repeat from star to end for her pleasure.
And this knitting joke to explain to someone who may be a crocheter.
If you don't understand
normal.
It, knit 2, purl 2, knit 2, purl 2 is ribbing. And so, therefore, it is ribbed for her pleasure.
Like a condom. Okay.
Yes, I was...
We're being
was...
really explicit here.
I just thought, in case someone didn't get it.
I think that most of our listeners would have understood it before we explained it, but thanks for the explanation, sis.
You're welcome.
It was an opportunity to use the word condom at the Sheep and Wool Festival today.
Well, we're not totally in the South, so we don't have to be ladies. How far south are you from?
I'm from North Carolina. I live in West Virginia right now, but I'm from North Carolina, and I've lived in Alabama, so...
Wow, that's hard. Hardcore.
Well, you can get away with a lot more in the South than I think y'all realize.
Like what?
Oh, pretty much anything you said on your podcast, you can get away with in the South. You just have to know the crowd you're in. But once you dig a little bit under the skin of any Southern woman, they are steel magnolias.
goats.
Oh, are you licking me? How are you, little goat?
So what are we looking at now?
We're looking at Jacob sheep, except these are lambs, I suspect. And they're chatting with us.
Hey, lamb. Do you like knitting?
Yeah.
What are you buying?
Good job.
Wait, what's going on?
She's buying before I'm buying today.
It's 4 ounces, and it's $5 an ounce. So that's $20 plus tax.
Okay.
And would you like this in a set?
No, I got it in my bag. We'll take a baby goat sheep, too.
You'll take a sheep, too?
I don't blame you. Those are awful cute. You can sit in the back seat for the ride.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going the wrong way?
I'm talking to Ruth here at the
Jacob Sheep Breeders Association.
And she was giving me a bit of a lesson in Jacob Sheep, and it was so interesting I had to turn the recording machine on and get her to say it to everybody. So can you tell me, what are Jacob Sheep?
Jacob Sheep are a very primitive breed. They originated back in the Old Testament, and then also the Romans brought them up through to England and Scotland. They were in isolated flocks up there. And were say they were so outstanding with their looks because they can have four horns and they're spotted, that they were used around castles to mow their lawns. So they were called castle sheep sometimes also.
You say, were they mentioned in the Old Testament?
Right. When Jacob told his father-in-law that he was going to lay down the rod to get the moldy spotted and moldy horned sheep, he was able to keep those, and that's why they're named Jacob Sheep.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yep.
So some of them have two horns, some of them have four.
Yep.
Why is that?
It's how they're just made. A four-horned ewe could have a two-horned lamb. It's in genetics, and you never know because there's both on each side. Usually they follow what they have, but sometimes they don't.
Tell me about the fiber that they produce.
Excellent fiber. It used to be said it was more rug yarn, but we can't understand that because it's wonderful for spinning. It's wonderful for felting. It has a luster to it, a softness. There's a crimp. There's not a lot of... It's just a great fiber, and that's why we sell so much of the wool.
And what's the staple length?
I'd say about 3 inches.
About 3 inches?
Yeah.
Is it a double-coated sheep?
No. Okay. That's all been bred out, I think. So we're trying to keep the breed as it was originally, but some people, if you have them on the farm, you breed for one thing or another. You like certain kinds of spots. You like certain kind of crimp in the wool. And you tend to breed for what you like.
And so you call them spotted. They really are spotted.
It's a spotted. A Jacob sheep is a black sheep. And even though it looks like it's white with black spots, it's a black sheep with the white markings. And you can tell that if you shine a flashlight on the animal at night, the color of their eyes shows the color. And you can tell that a Jacob sheep is a black animal. And their skin is black. They have black skin underneath.
So what's the eye trick? You shine it in their eyes.
If you shine a light in their eyes and it comes up like a blue light coming back at you, that means it's a black animal.
I can't remember if it was
a red or yellow or something, you know, it's different. Yeah.
That's fascinating. And their skin is actually black in color.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating. And I think you can do some really interesting things with the fiber because of the two different colors. You can blend them.
With one sheep, you can get white, you can get dark, you can blend it to a light gray, a dark gray, whatever, you know.
Just very versatile.
Yeah, yeah. And they're smarter because they're a primitive breed. They're very good mothers. They're very, very hardy. And we don't trim the tails short like they do in the shows because that hurts the muscles. So you don't get prolapsing, you get all that, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for chatting.
Welcome.
This has been fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so excited. I'm talking to Dave, who is the mastermind behind the Hitchhiker. The Hitchhiker Spinning Wheels, right? What's the name of your company?
The name of the company actually is the Merlin Tree.
Okay.
And the Merlin Tree came from my wife's yarn shop name. And she named it after a tree out in the bog behind our house that reminded her of a tree in the original production of Camelot, where Merlin would just come out of trees. And when I started making wheels, State said, well, you can use the same name as a separate business. And I said,
okay.
I like it.
So when did you start making wheels?
I started restoring wheels in 2000. And then in 2002, I started making a reproduction of a 30-inch Canadian wheel, and I made 50 of those.
Those were, what were those called? The
production wheels.
They had
cast iron treadles, cast iron parts, and I made 50 of those. Okay. Toward the end of that run, I decided I wanted to do something different, and my wife, Shoop, came into my shop and said, this is what you're going to do. Closed the door behind them and said, we want a portable wheel. When can we have it?
Okay.
and that's what we started out with.
So you started with a run of 15 you made.
Well, we started first, the first year we started, I made a proto, and then for the next year, every month I would go to their guild meeting, and they would all play with it, and at the end of the meeting would say, do this, this, and this. So it took a year to get it where they wanted.
Okay.
And then the plan was to make 14, but some secret pictures got out from guild meetings. I had requests for orders. I started, when I finally got it where I wanted to have it, filling those orders. The ladies and the girl, wasn't until 6 months later they finally got theirs. Because they had to wait. They'd started the problem. They had to wait.
Right, of course. So tell me about your different wheels.
Yeah.
Well, we started out originally with a Hitchhiker, which was sized to go in the overhead compartment. And that was the first dimension. And then the lady said, if you can get it down to that size, that's what we have to have. But we wanted to do everything our wheel at home does in that size frame. And that's what took longer to do.
So how does it, is it double, it's not double drive. I see it's, I don't know what it is.
It is an odd drive. It's, okay. which is not my invention. It's existed, but it's called friction drive.
Okay.
The whirl, there's no drive band.
Okay, I see that. That's why I stopped talking, because I looked at it and I said, but there's no drive band.
In fact, it has a lifetime guarantee on the drive band. If it ever breaks, send it back and I'll replace it.
Right.
It never will, because there never is
there
one.
There isn't one.
But it moves because there's a rubber whirl which lays against the side of the drive wheel.
So and it's perpendicular to the drive wheel.
Exactly. No, actually, no, it doesn't go like normal wheels, which would be
this.
It's right in line with the drive wheel.
Okay, all right.
So the flyer would go, so it just goes by having the whirl rub against the side of the drive wheel. That turns the flyer. So, and as I say to people, it doesn't make any difference how the flyer gets driven.
As long as
that's
driving.
What does the spinning is the flyer. Everything else underneath that is decor, design, whatever style you want it to be.
Okay, and then you have a second wheel here.
The second wheel is really the same. We named it the Road Bug. It's just a shorter version, and it's not the whole wheel that's short. We just cut the original, which I consider to be the stylistic, carrying handle off the top, and it gets 3 inches smaller that way. But some people feel the smaller the better, and also Road Bugs will typically be usable in the front seat of a car, a lot of cars, not all, but a lot. And the Road Bug guarantees that it has the best chance of fitting in under the glove compartment. And my wife had a PT Cruiser. It worked. She had a Honda Element. It worked. Now she's got a Subaru. Too bad. The front seat of that, the glove compartment comes down too fast, and she can't fit it in.
Okay.
But a lot of people spin in the car with it.
Now, I've heard lots of wonderful things about your wheels. Are you able to keep up with the demand?
Actually, we are.
Wonderful.
About 2 years ago, my daughter, who is an engineer, decided to take a break. 7 years in the hectic world, she came back, just lived at home for a while, then got a place of her own up where we are, and she does all the standard wheel making now for me. The standard run stuff, all the specialty things I do. So we're able to keep up. If she hadn't come back home, I would have probably been trying to figure out a way to cut back a little bit sooner, because it is more than a one-person job to do it.
So there's no waiting list?
There is no waiting list. If someone calls me today, I will guarantee a wheel within 2 weeks. It's usually faster than that. But especially during show season, I'll say it might be 2 weeks, because that's priority at that point.
Okay.
Summer or winter, probably ship out the next day.
So exciting. And I see you do them, you paint the wheel itself in different colors.
The only option we really do decoration-wise is just we'll paint the drive wheel a color. We have stock colors, but we've also had people call and say, I went to the Sherwin-Williams store today, here's the color I saw, and we'll go get the paint and we'll paint it the color they want.
Okay.
And sometimes people will have us replace some of the main support pieces, solid hardwood pieces, like the treadles included. They'll want it made of cherry. Because that matches the footman, which is already cherry, and the bobbins are cherry.
Okay.
And we'll do the cherry add-on for them, too.
And the wood normally is?
Normally, it's the wheel and the support piece itself, the main support, is a Baltic birch. It's a furniture-grade plywood from Europe. The rest of it is all hard maple.
Okay.
So which gives it, which means everything. Yeah, the maple itself is Vermont maple. I have to say that.
You've cornered this little
the corner
niche.
Of the market.
This little niche. It's so they're so cute. They're
every
so cute.
Every time I see a new one come out, a little wheel, because a lot of them have come out since I've done mine, and I'm a nervous wreck. I want to hear about it, and then I every time so far, then I'll go online and see one, and it'll be 2 to 3 times the price. And then I go, oh, we still got our spot in the world.
Exactly. Well, when we're done recording, could I possibly try one of the wheels?
Sweet talk. I don't know where she went. This lady right here.
Okay.
We have one wheel set up to try all the time.
I would love to try it because you've caught my eye here. Thank you so much for chatting
with us.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful rest of the show. Happy to be talking to Kevin, who is otherwise, well, we've been calling him the announcing guy.
He's himself the announcer guy.
Oh,
that's
the announcer guy.
These people over here call me the announcing guy. I didn't really have a formal moniker.
So you, first of all, you have an excellent announcer voice.
Thank you. I bought it, I don't know, about 4 or 5 years ago abroad, and it's really suited me well.
Yeah, it seems to be doing you well.
Thank you.
And I appreciate your lightness in your announcements. Can you tell me, what's your inspiration?
Well, when I was a small child, my mother repeatedly inspired me by telling me I had a face for radio. So I really kept that nugget in my heart and grew up one day to be a part-time announcer at the local fairgrounds.
And when you talk to these knitters, I mean,
what do you think? What's going through your head?
What are your feelings?
Well, it's not just knitters. This is a surreal bunch. I mean, you get some folks that are, you know, producing the sheep and such, and they're from very small corners of the country, and they're an interesting and unique, eclectic bunch right there. All the way down to the folks who utilize the finished products like knitters. You got everybody in between. It's quite an interesting bunch.
Can I call your attention to the one with the ram's head?
Yes. And those, I believe, are made out of felt. I believe those she made those herself.
Oh.
Yeah. She felted that, I believe, if that's a correct term.
It is?
I've been picking it up over the last few years. I don't just eat the lamb burgers. I've been picking up the lamb lingo.
Now, tell me, what is the most noteworthy thing you've seen so far at this festival?
This year or in years past?
Well, you know, any entertaining story would do.
Usually it's the lost parents. You get, like, some little kid, 4 or 5 years old, come up. We had a little girl yesterday come up, and she goes, excuse me. And we're like, yes, my parents are lost. So I said, okay, I got my pen and paper, adorable. And I go, okay, what's your mom's name? She goes, Mommy. I said, excellent. And what's your dad's name? She goes, Daddy. I said, well, what's your name? She said, you know, Annalisa. So I get on the line, and I get to say, you know, that we have lost parents, and they go by Mommy and Daddy, and Annalisa's worried about them. And this woman came running, oh, my God. They were crying for, like, 10 minutes and everything.
But Annalisa wasn't worried.
She was so brave. She came in with a man by the hand. And the man said, well, she said she was lost, and could I walk her down? But Moore told me to walk her down, and so I'm walking her down. And, you know, she was like 4, I think.
That's very sweet. What was your favorite announcement that you've made so far this weekend?
I know my favorite one of yours.
We've been talking amongst ourselves.
I'm not a script guy. I don't remember any of the announcements I made. I mean, they say do something about the dogs. I beat them up about the dogs, but I don't really remember exactly what I say.
Let's talk about the dog issue for a minute. So it's illegal.
Not just dogs. We found sheep in cars yesterday.
I'm sorry, what?
Little baby sheep were, like, left in a car yesterday.
And
so we had to amend the announcement to include all animals because they were like, hey, they just had dogs.
Are you serious?
We can fry the sheep, apparently.
So apparently people are using this festival as an opportunity to cook their pets in their cars.
Well,
right?
Or at least warm them up considerably.
Right. And so the police have, there is a law against killing your animal, I imagine.
Only in 14 states, we found out. We're appalled at that. But Maryland, proudly, is one of them. So it's West Virginia, but not Virginia? I don't understand.
There are 2 Virginias?
No, we're from Canada.
Okay, see, after the Civil War, we broke them into 2. There's West Virginia, capital Charleston, and then we have plain old boring Virginia, which isn't boring at all, actually. It's a commonwealth, not really a state. Oh, Canada.
So you can come announce in Canada any day.
Okay, so
I've done that a few times at hockey matches and such.
Nice.
Well, you were telling us about the animals in the cars.
Yeah. Well, that was my only experience with frying lambs in cars.
So it's okay if it's a lamb burger, but it's not okay if it's
right.
a car.
Grill is an acceptable means for cooking your lamb here in the state of Maryland. We're the O-line state, by the way.
Right.
And cars apparently are not.
Okay. All right. Now, I thoroughly enjoyed the thank you message that you made to the people helping with the parking.
Oh, yes, the Boy Scouts.
Yep. So you thanked them and you suggested that anyone who arrived here by means other than limousine or private helicopter.
I don't know how else you get here. We are in the middle of really nowhere.
They should be thankful to the people helping with the parking, right?
I guess.
I mean, my heart was moved.
I mean, the little Boy Scouts out there, working all day long tirelessly for community service hours.
Well, and I also imagine that those who arrived by private helicopter should probably be thanking the Boy Scouts who are working the runways.
I'd like to think they could tip the Boy Scouts, maybe, you know, do a little donation to help them out for the year. They're out there swilling, you know, selling lamb burgers. Just make a nice donation if you're going to drop here in your helicopter.
What made you get involved with this in the first place? The love of knitting?
I teach across the street at a high school, so I also do some other events here. I do the Howard County Fair. I do some local sporting events. But I have a real job. I don't want you to think I don't.
I
thought this was your real job.
This isn't a real job. You're doing
an amazing job at it.
People here. Guy. Person.
I fit all those monikers in this modern day.
If you had advice for people attending, say, this Fiber Festival.
Indeed.
Well, yes. What kind of advice would you give?
Wow, on nice weather weekends, I don't even know if I'd come on Saturday. Did you come yesterday? It was
a zoo
and the traffic and everything.
We tried to nap and his voice overhead kept
I will not allow you to nap.
No, that's
Wake up, girls from Canada.
It was about 1 p.m. And there were a lot of things to announce.
I might have fallen asleep and got a little bit of a sunburn.
Luckily, your voice woke us up at about...
Or someone painted the back of your leg an ugly red, an angry red.
Angry red.
Yeah.
Angry.
So have any of your students ever seen you here?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
What do they say?
I got a few over there in 4-H. And I have former students from as many as 20 years ago say, Grandma, we got to go. Well, why? I know that's my former. Oh, it could be anyone. No, that's my former teacher.
I know that voice.
For a fact. Yeah. Although I sound like a lot of people in my mind.
How many people are in your mind?
Well, it depends. Sometimes it's just a small argument. Sometimes it's a community rabble thing. You know?
That's why they only let you at the mic now and then.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So, okay, advice. I'm sorry to interrupt. Advice for people coming here.
So just don't bother coming.
It's an expansive grounds, and there are no wheelchairs for rent or scooters for rent or anything like that. Don't bring your pets. Because you might be tempted to leave them in your cars, and we may have to liberate those animals. And again, expansive grounds. If you are really immobile, if you have trouble getting around and you don't have your own motorized scooter, this might be a challenge for you as well.
The gravel would be uncomfortable to crawl on.
Well, it depends. You could pull yourself across it slowly, but your MPH are really down. Probably KPH for you folks north of the border there.
Yeah, right? I just
want to put it all in terms you can understand.
You're an equal opportunity.
Sure, absolutely.
Speaker,
absolutely.
Announcer, man.
I can even convert that for you. That's an easy conversion.
Really?
10 kilometers, 6 miles.
Right.
That's so easy.
Yeah, but what if we're going 12.3?
Well, 10 kilometers, 6 miles.
And then you cross multiple.
He's not a math teacher.
Then 5, exactly.
Now, my question is, you're working directly across from where they sell the shepherd's crooks. Have you been tempted to purchase a shepherd's crook?
Well, as a former lifeguard who used to use a shepherd's crook, much bigger, kind of manly, you could yank a big fat guy right out of the pool with it sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
I've considered it. I have considered it because there's some people that need to be yanked from this fair and tossed, I would say. Just,
you know,
fashion,
I think
faux pas. Some men whose legs are best covered are in kilts and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some creative combination of items as well.
Creative, that's another word for it, right?
Yeah, however, there are some choices that I think just should never be made.
Indeed, and I wish I had a camera for some of the ones that walked by me yesterday. Appalling.
So you're hanging out at the information booth.
That's what I do.
What is the...
stupidest question someone
perhaps, has asked? Perhaps, what is the most creative question someone has asked at the interview?
You would be shocked, but some international types came up to interview me on some ridiculous podcast sort of thing.
Okay.
And what did they have?
All right. Absurd, silly little questions.
They're pretty hot, though.
Well, there's no question about that. The crowd of men that formed up behind them during the interview was impressive.
I hear crickets. I see empty space.
Oh, you thought I was referring to you. No, this was a previous group of international gals doing a podcast. Thanks for coming to the 40th anniversary Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival.
It's neat and it's sweet. It's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet.
Just knitting with your knitting all day long.
You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone. And that is why we sing this knitting song.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Savvy Girls Podcast. I am sure you are now one episode richer, and I am 4 fleeces, a variety of skeins of yarn, and a variety of bumps of fiber richer after this
weekend.
And we didn't actually mention the spinning wheel on the podcast.
Oh.
Remember that guy we did the interview with at the very end?
Yeah, and I bought a spinning wheel. So an entire spinning wheel extra. So, if you would like to reach us and commend me on my fine, fine purchasing performance at the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival.
You're supporting the U.S. economy.
I'm supporting the economy, and I'm working to fill our apartment one skein at a time, one fleece at a time. If you'd like to reach us, you can find us through our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can email us at podcast@savvygirls.ca. We're on Ravelry. I am Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. You can also find us on our podcast Ravelry group. We're on Facebook under the Savvy Girls Podcast and on Twitter as Savvy Girls PCast. Thank you all so much for joining us on this adventure weekend, and we're looking forward to our next episode.
Yes, next episode, we bring in a number of guests. It's sort of the guest-isode.
Absolutely. We've already titled our next episode, I guess.
We'll be hanging out with guests. We'll be listening to them talk about wool and yarn and such, and yeah. But in the meantime, tend to your knitting, kitten.
Cardigan would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.
We have a couple of activities coming up at 3:30, but they're not to be missed. At 3:30 in the pavilion, we got the family hoedown with Slim Harrison. That might be new to Slim Harrison because we also have him on the schedule as roaming the grounds until 4 o'clock. I don't know how he's going to do both, but that's an impressive.